You're listening to episode 9 of Chips with Chalt, and we are doing a live broadcast.
What did we say? We said it would never get to episode 6. Oh, sorry, Duncan said it would never get to episode 6.
Someone said that.
I never said that.
Yeah, I think it was you.
You said it with your eyes.
I think we shared a look that said, this ain't getting to episode 6.
Don't even start.
Yeah, but here we are. We're going to do a Mercury special. So I just want to run you through a few things that are probably going to happen. We are going to talk and give our alternative take on the Mercury Music Prize. If you haven't already, turn on to BBC Four. Basically, we're going to watch the what's happening on BBC Four, and we're going to kind of discuss it. There is about 30-second lag on the YouTube stream to what's actually on the telly. So if you have a fancy TV and you want to pause, I mean, I will let you know when to start the broadcast. It's just on the kind of the advert, the minute the pre load up to it. Yeah, so that's kind of how it's going to work. I suppose we're going to pop it on our sort of podcast provider, Audio Boom, later on. So if you want to again listen to it and watch along with the iPlayer in later on, then you're more than welcome to. So that's how it's going to, yeah, easy as that, really. So I hope that it's okay. Hope that you get a bit of enjoyment out of it, and hope that. Yeah, sorry, Duncan's just. Duncan's just watching his own stream at the minute. I accidentally kind of paused it. There you are, Duncan. There you go.
Ah, yeah.
Got to remember that people can't.
Well, then people, that reaction is going to be also 30 seconds delayed.
Yeah, probably will be, yeah, for us, yeah. Okay, so. Yeah, okay, you're right there, Duncan. Yeah,
do you want to introduce the band?
Yes, so I'm joined, as ever, today, I am joined by Andy.
Hello.
By Robin.
Hiya.
I'm going to jump over to Duncan on the other couch there.
Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy. And in the in between the band, like a rose twixt two thorns. Twixt two thorns is our good friend Matt Durant, the Pigeon Post.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. infamous blogger.
Alternative music blogging legend.
Yes.
Oh, you're too kind.
Yeah.
Kind.
So
that's really kind.
He has joined us. And just to give you a heads up, it looks like the Mercury show on BBC Four is going to start within the next 10 seconds for us. They're just going to start loading up. So if you want to watch it with us, if you're watching on like a record and want to watch it along with the iPlayer later on, then by all means, start your Mercury Music show now. There we go. So, guys, I suppose the obvious question to start off with is who's going to win it tonight?
I don't know. I don't even know who's nominated. I haven't paid it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I've listened to them all, apart from Florence and the Machine. well, we put out a thing before, didn't we, saying who do you think will win and who would you want to win? So maybe that's a good
place. I thought Pete was the only person that responded to that.
No, there's a lot of people.
Oh, there was a lot of
responses. Was there?
Even sent to my group DMs, yeah.
Oh, really?
I'll start off seeing some guests.
That was implied.
I think that Arctic Monkey's going to win.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, but it's mainly because the panel's quite middle of the road, so I think they've got to go for something that they think's an edgy album.
You analysed the panel?
I have analysed the panel.
I didn't even know it was on the panel. I know they make it public knowledge.
It's pretty similar to last time, actually.
Is it?
I've got a small list. I'll walk you through it later. I'd like Sons of Kermit to win. Sons of Kermit. Sons of Kermit.
Too soon.
anybody else?
Rob?
I think Nadine Shah is going to win.
Who do you want to win?
Out of these records, I think I will actually say Nadine Shah as well. I think it is
fucking hate Florence.
She's on.
Sorry, Florence is on.
Distracting.
This is the problem we've got.
So the ceremony's already started, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So the ceremony started, I think, about 7-ish.
I thought we said we were going to do our chip review during Florence.
I know, we've met. So Florence is
still eating.
It's fucked up our order, basically, hasn't she? Yeah.
Cheers, Flo.
Yeah. I'm with you, Rob. I really like Nadine Shah's record. In fact, I remember listening to it when we were gigging a lot last year.
Yeah,
and it was probably one of my favourite records of last year before she even got nominated. So that was my one in the bucket. Dunk.
For me, it's I suspect it'll be Georgia Smith that wins it. I think it's going to be a female artist that wins it this year, because it has been seven years without a female winner.
Yeah, so PJ Harvey 2011.
But if I was picking out of, you know, just if I was just plucking an album out of the 12 of them that I really just have listened to and resonated with the most, it probably is going to be Arctic Monkeys. So I'd like to see Arctic Monkeys win it. If not just for the opening line,
I think,
Matthew.
I don't like the Arctic Monkeys album much at all. I think it's quite dull.
What do you think? Why do you think it's dull?
I just think, like, a lot of my...
Oh, he's grabbing his notes already. He's already panicking. The first
we'll see them in 30 seconds.
Come on.
I just think it's... If it wasn't Arctic Monkeys, I don't think it'd be there. I don't think...
I do. I think that is a good point.
Because you compare it to, say, the Baxter Drury album, which is, I think, offers a lot more, but it's just that Arctic Monkeys comes with the baggage of their past albums.
But again,
but you're assessing that against.
But you're associating this with the panel at the same time, though, aren't you? Feel that sort of Arctics sort of have quite a good innings.
I came to this conclusion first, and then looked at the panel, and then I thought, yes, that's
where it's going to go.
That's agreed with my...
It's their fourth nomination, isn't it? Alex Turner's fifth, yeah.
You had Last of the Shadows.
Well, you see, so by that, I imagine I could have easily have seen this get, if had he had released it as a solo album, I think it would have easily have made the same grade, as it were, for the 12 tracks. Although, I suppose the Arctic Monkeys fans of Alex Turner, it would have been more understandable to see more of a tangent in their style, because it's obviously less of a Dark Fruits album than the previous one, and the one previous to that as well. Well, it is, but it's great.
I like how Dark Fruits is now like an adjective.
Is that
it's a state of mind, really, isn't it? Well, what Dark Fruits state of mind?
Ooh. Oh, are we just completely ignoring Florence, by the way? Is this the bad apple?
Okay, hands up, who listened to the Florence album?
I listened to the first seven tracks.
Yeah, no one listened to it completely.
Okay.
It's exactly what you'd imagine a Florence the Machine album to be. It's... Because there's nothing new.
It's incredibly bland.
Yeah.
And I can't stand a voice.
Well, that's the issue. I don't have anything fundamentally against it, but I really dislike her voice, you know, which is an issue listening to a full album.
I definitely got like a sort of an unfortunate, the image that sort of came up in my head when I was listening to the Florence album today. Because I only listened to it today, but it was just, it kind of felt like a very like a hipster sound of music. I kind of felt like I was in my skirt, spinning around, my eyes closed, just being overwhelmed by every emotion. It's not great. Yeah. And what was even less great about it was that I started thinking about people that I kind of know who I would imagine would be into this kind of thing. I was like, oh no, don't make me start to brandish them like with this album and stuff like that. So yeah, even worse in that respect. Although there was that song at the end about the end of love. Is it called The End of Love?
Yeah,
I'm already losing my detail.
I know. I just completely left my head.
Yeah,
that
song was all right until it mentioned something about reading like a live, laugh, love sign or something like that.
Yeah, like the ones I've got up here.
Like the ones you've got in your flat.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers, mate.
It's a lovely dig.
I know. I like that.
Well, I didn't go, so I'm going to go. I think Georgia Smith will win it, and I want it to win it, actually.
Okay.
It's a really, really good album.
I think it is. I think
very,
it's an excellent record,
It's full of genuine
Hopefully, if we've not missed her performance, because I think we've kind of come into the ceremony halfway through here.
Yeah. That was a pre-record, the Florence. So hopefully for TV watchers like ourselves,
So we'll try and talk as... Yeah, we'll discuss the artist as they're playing live.
Apart from Florence's.
Thankfully.
She should
Well, maybe we'll do the chips when Noel Gallagher's on. How about that, lads? Should we do that?
Yeah.
Let's do the chips when Noel's on.
It's safe to say that we all think that's kind of the bottom of the...
I try to defend it because I'm just blinded by Oasis.
I'm still just annoyed at the fact that we got stuck behind backstage at Glastonbury because he was deciding whether he wanted to use the toilet or not.
Yeah, I remember.
we weren't allowed to go off and watch Radiohead. Yeah, yeah. Glastonbury, we were playing the Williams Green tent, and Noel Gallagher had shown up because he was introducing the Supersonic film played on that stage that evening. And we wanted to go off and watch Radiohead. It was happening kind of at the same time. And because, bizarrely, we got locked in a conversation with mine and Pete's dentist backstage, we ended up, like, basically the entire stage got put on lockdown for about half an hour. So no one could go in or out because Noel Gallagher was just doting about. It's just like, why? Like, no one cares. Like, yeah, I get it. He's quite small, but like, can I really not just go and go about my business now?
No, it was just after the bombings, wasn't it? I think that was they had like security actually in the Williams Green tent. They were saying, and they were everything was just on complete lockdown. It
is
was
someone gonna
over the top. We struggled to get into
the Williams Green tent. Been a terrorist target,
and
though.
Considering we struggled to get into the festival, let alone how anyone with a load. Yeah, load
no,
of
I think he did right the first time. I think he was angling for a poo.
Yeah, but he wasn't sure what he wanted to do, was he?
Sure, no.
Yeah, just,
this is so exclusive.
Caught him at a very unique juncture there. Very weird situation to see a celebrity in. It's like,
strange, it's
they're wondering whether to go for a big one, aren't they?
It's a strange place to see anyone in, really. You know, I don't wish it on my worst enemy, that indecision.
Neil, I've just started to really appreciate the job you do editing this into something listable.
It's actually a thankless task. I've never done anything like this before. And I just realised, oh my God, Duncan's chatting away and I can't see him.
Most times, Matt, we don't even listen back to the edit.
Don't tell me.
It depends how bad the fear is the next day. It depends. It's like, oh my God, what did I say?
Well, so in particular, I'd say the Mike Joyce one, the second part got a little bit heavy. And then people have talked to me afterwards about content in it. And I really can't remember some of the things I said.
Neil, do you want to introduce the band?
Yeah, so this is Everything Is Recorded. This is the fella from XL Recording. Yeah,
Richard Russell.
Yeah, that's your guy. So... I don't know, go around the table. What's your thoughts on this record?
Well, he got back into making music a few years ago after being diagnosed with a rare autoimmune
disease.
Really?
Oh,
right.
So he decided to get back into making stuff, and this is Sam Frew's singing at the moment. It's not quite an XL All-Stars album, but it's some of the cream
that's
of their
Richard
talent.
That's Richard there, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, with the peach
doesn't
t-shirt.
Doesn't Peter Gabriel sing on one of the tracks?
Yes, he does. Well, yeah. Kind of.
Yeah,
it's not like a lead line.
He's in the credits, it's one of them. But I didn't realize until I saw today. He's like, oh, yeah, Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, I thought that was just a sample of the Peter Gabriel song "Don't Give Up" with Kate Bush at first, because it felt like it was like the wah wah.
There are a lot of samples in it as well. Yeah.
That's where I thought it come from.
But I thought it's one of my top three, I think, from the shortlist.
Okay.
But I think it's because it sounds like most of the stuff that Young Turks record label puts out, and I'm into all that.
It reminded me very hip-hoppy Uncle record, the way that Uncles, you know, did a show with James Bell, have really gone indie. Mm. This if they went more hip-hoppy, it would be like this record. That's kind of, and I thought it was great. It was one of the first ones I listened to after the nominations came out, and I was pretty impressed, really.
Yeah,
I'm loving this performance. This looks great.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
As an album, this one's really grown on me in terms of doing the MCR live radio show since the shortlist was announced. So for the last three episodes, this is an album that I've just kept going back to every time. It's like, that's a good song. At first I was a little bit skeptical about it, because as you say, you can look at the panel, you can look at the artist. Richard has got, he's got Samfer involved, and this is, you know, who won it last year and things like that. And you can't help but feel like there might be some cynicism behind the whole thing. But there is a very innocent curiosity to this album. It's got an interesting rhythm to the whole thing.
But it's also like, it's in a position of power, isn't he? So it's like all these artists that collaborated with it. It's not like he's
is there a
conflict of interest?
Yeah, massive,
yeah, of course there is.
Is there just massive, an advantage to go around and get a load of sort of not only popular but critically popular?
Yeah, I'm in charge of your next record deal.
I can make things easy for you or very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I think that's only in the interest of actually making it the best art it can be, because I don't think the Mercury Prize really matters to Richard, this guy. Like, you know, he's... If he runs XL Records, he could just he could push it as much as he wants with the XL recording budget. Yeah. So, I mean, like, this is much of a muchness for him.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I disagree. I think as more of one of the more experimental, certainly production wise, I think it could really benefit from getting that sort of ultimate.
Oh, it's no
critical, acclaim.
I think what's good is it's clear that he's spent a lot of time on it. You know, it's not just something that he's done in his spare time, like bedroom project. He actually has put the work in, which, like, and like knowing about his illness as well, like the that there is a a side to that that's, you know, fed the passion.
But this is a lovely performance though.
It's great.
Really good.
But yeah, I think it's one of the few albums on the shortlist that actually pushes the envelope a little bit. It's doesn't
yeah, definitely. I think especially in production as well. It's not it's not trying to
I'd say probably
with the big stars, it's not trying to do that sort of big epic ballady production. Yeah. It is sort of pretty minimal.
Yeah.
And if that's I mean, I don't know if he's ever planning to take it on the road, but if that one song is, you know, anything like if that's anything representative of what a live show would be, I'd go to it in a second because, yeah, I don't, as an artist who's baffled by people that even go to gigs, like I'd go to that gig.
Go to your gigs.
Yeah. Don't.
No, it baffles me as well.
We're baffled, like, well, since we started this podcast, every time I talk to people about, like, that's what you're up to, it's like, oh, I started a podcast. Like, do you listen to any podcasts? Like, what are you listening to? Then someone will tell me about 15 podcasts they listen to, and I go, oh, wow, really? I listen to one.
What's when
yeah? Yeah. Oh, Mince, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. It's not your, well, yeah. Not oh, are we plug it? Yeah. I listen to Atletico Mince. That's the only one I listen to. It's that I can't, either my time management is that bad, or just, I don't know, again, it's just another economy that I'm just a bit kind of flustered by.
Well, when I was a blogger way back when, there was like two blogs that I read, because I didn't, well, a lot of it was like, I didn't like the idea that I was stealing from other people's recommendations, but a lot of it was just like, it just really, really bored me.
Yeah, I don't listen to any music.
That's the thing, right? It's what happens.
Yeah. Steve Wright?
Oh, there we go.
Here we go.
So we're doing a chip review now, then.
Yeah. So Noel Gallagher's just started.
So he's not there.
He's in the audience at the minute. So it's a pre-record. So
this is him.
It's
Jones,
nice.
Isn't
it's nice. That he's gone back to being a Man City fan now. That they're doing well, isn't it? after he spent years saying that he's going to bring up his children as Arsenal fans so they'd experience some glory. And he hated being a Manchester City fan. It's good that he's.
I don't really think that's true. I'm not having that.
It's the perfect thing Noel Gallagher would say. It's honestly, so, self-deprecating.
I can send you the link.
He
said that he wanted to bring up his kids as Arsenal fans.
Okay.
What do you make to the fact that at the One Love concert in Manchester he didn't attend because he was on holiday? What's your thoughts about that?
I don't know anything about it, Duncan. That's
I don't
hot potato for me though.
Yeah. Oh, obviously Liam made a deal.
A potato reference in there. He's passed the book.
Yeah, I don't mind it actually. I suppose it's similar to sort of what I think Noel's always had that stance with charity things that he's never done them. He's always been invited to do the sort of the live 8 thing and everything. He just said no. He doesn't do charity gigs. He's always sort of,
this is true,
yeah, he's always
at the same time. I'd say it kind of crosses the boundary from a charity gig to a moment of national crisis, which can be brought together by music.
Yeah,
and had he just done that one song with his brother.
Is that the bass player from the Zootons?
It is, yeah.
It is. Robin, don't change the subject.
What a lovely trivial segue.
Should we talk chips then?
Yeah.
Let's talk chips.
Okay.
Let's just sum up Noel's album. It's extremely contrived.
It's contrived in production. It's supposed to be psychedelic, and it's just really squashed and MIDI, and it's the same old
David Ohms,
tap.
Wasn't it? David Ohms is the producer, so.
Is it the sound of someone that doesn't know whether to have a poo or a wee?
It's the sound of a person who I think it's more, he's not quite sure what kind of poo he's going to have, I think. Whether it's festival toilet appropriate.
Okay.
And onto the chips.
onto the chips, guys. Okay, so who? Tell me where these are from. I didn't go out to prep for this. So who bought them? Where'd you get them from?
I bought them. Hopefully the money will come back in my pocket somehow, boys. So me and Matt, we were at the Royal Cod. We decided to get 3 large portions of chips.
£2.10 each.
Salted and vinegared up. And then we looked at the sundries that they had on their menu. We got mushy peas, of course. That
they're
was
very,
a no-brainer.
They're very bad.
We wanted to go for mushy peas. And then we saw there was English curry, which was a no-brainer again. And then there was Irish curry, which was an interesting one, wasn't it? And you asked for the difference between them. Yep. Apparently, the Irish one is thinner, but it's also darker and spicier.
Spicier is his.
Whereas the English one has bits and it's sweeter.
The English one, in essence, tastes of nothing. But it's got a bit of sugar, and it's...
I think we've come to the we came to the quick conclusion that it's very much a no deal curry sauce, isn't it?
Oh God.
It's as no deal as it gets. We've had non-league curry sauce. Now we've got no deal curry sauce. Yeah.
We go crashing out of the flavour union.
The Irish though.
The Irish is actually my favourite thing we've got on the table.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
In terms of chips, what do you all think about it?
I like them. I thought they were good. I suppose comparatively, they were better than Atlantic. Because that's the only other chippy chip we've had this series.
Yeah, they're right.
If you'd told me, like, if I'd come here blind and you said these are Atlantic, as somebody who often has Atlantic, I'd be like, yeah, great standard for you as usual for Atlantic.
Okay. But yeah, I think they're great. I've had them before, and they're usually kind of my go-to. I don't know, maybe it's because of the geography. I probably go to Beach Road maybe, but they are my go-to chippy.
And these were fresh, weren't they, as well, when you got them? Like,
straight out of the oven.
Yeah, in fact, me and Matthew are quite sure that we did actually sort of make the the fryer nervous by our very presence, because he was a bit like, okay, like, that's quite a lot of chips. Well, let's put some more in the fryer. I was like, yeah, that's fine. Take your time.
You started eating a muffin.
Nervously, like in a way that suggested
to go to the corner to eat his cupcake out of view. It's
certainly in a way that suggested he couldn't stand our conversation that he was overhearing and had no choice but to do so.
Yeah.
Although then again, because I like to try and take in the atmosphere of a place within the review, and the only thing I could really remark on was how close there was that, like, from where you order in the Royal Cod, there's one table that's like right next to it. It was just like
cramped.
Yeah, it just seemed a bit bonkers. And I've always, like, every time I've walked past,
there's a lot of room in there as well.
I walk past that place every bloody day, and every time it's just like you see like the long chairs and the big kind of banquet tables, and it's something quite King Arthurian about the place. You know what I mean? Like, I've always liked that. It's kind of like chips for all my boys, or something quite grand about it. Like, chips for my army and things.
Okay, so I'm going to ask, should we do scores now?
Yeah, should we do
it? Is it out of 10?
Have you got a calculator?
I have in my head. Okay, who's on now? Sorry, someone's just come on.
Sons of Kermit.
Sons of Kermit. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, can we turn it up? I'm not listening to this album.
Okay. So let's go around for a quickly chip review before we move on to Sons of Kermit. I'm going to call it straight up 7.
Okay. So Neil, 7. Robin?
7.
7. Matthew?
I'm going to have to drag it up. 7.5. I think that's 7. It's about fair. It's an average. Just an average chippy chip, and that's 7.5 for me. That
mine was started out 6.2, but it's been rising. It's 6.6.
Nice. I'm going to give it 7.
I'd say it was faultless but unimpressive.
It's 7.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. Yeah,
You're right. It's 7.04.
7.04.
It's dead on the nose. 7.
It's good. We're starting to get questions through as well.
I was going to read some out.
Yeah, who are looking home. But should we chat about this Sons of Kemet album, and then we'll maybe try and get some questions when Annie Mack is on next to presenting. Should we try and do that?
So
who's listened to this? Has everyone managed to get?
Yes, I've listened to it. Yes.
No, but Patrick, who I do the show with on MCR Live, he says it's great.
Okay. Matt, should we go to your book first?
My book.
Oh God!
Go on, you're on. Come on, pressure.
Essentially, my thoughts are I don't know anything about jazz, but I know what I like, and I like this album. Yeah, except I don't know whether this is the cream of the crop for jazz albums this year.
I thought exactly the same. First time I got a chance to listen to this was this morning in work, and I really enjoyed it. But you're right, I've no frame of reference with the genre. But it's a great album.
It's like if a jazz fan said, there's like 6 of these albums out per year. Right?
Yeah, yeah, it's like 10 this week. Yeah,
yeah, great. I'm like,
I'm a jazz fan. but I really enjoyed it. Are we due a jazz winner?
I think we are.
Has there ever been a jazz winner?
Been a jazz winner?
Our list of previous winners, and it goes up to 2000.
Rob's got the rest after that. But before that, in your head.
Speech to Bell.
Anthony and the Johnsons, was that?
Well, she was kind of more left field.
No one said.
Yeah, she was rap, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Hip hop, sorry. I'm pretty sure in 99, was it? I'm pretty sure it was a world music winner in 99.
I'll get Wikipedia up. From
homepage. And Ronnie Size may have won it in 98. You've got Primal Scream first year.
Oh, Talvin Singh won it in 99.
Yeah, Talvin Singh. Is that the jazz album of that year?
But we're talking actual jazz rather than the usual, just like we've got to pick one that's not popular. So I think this is probably going to be the first. Yeah,
Tarvin Singh is jazz for people who say wine o'clock.
Okay. 1 o'clock. Right. Okay. Nice.
Very good.
Okay. Should we take some questions from the everyone who's watching?
I was going to. This was my job, wasn't it?
Go on.
So Joe Webb on Twitter said, "What's your favourite everything track?" I think Joe is a big everything fan.
My Kijo boyfriend.
Off the
off this album.
Off the album that's been nominated.
Oh. Well.
Yeah, go for it.
Night of the Young Knives. No, that, I think that is a great song. Night of the Long Knives, obviously. But yeah.
Matt, any opinions?
I've only listened to it in the background at work, and it was all. I do like everything. But a lot of their a lot of their songs kind of like I've the last album I often listened to, but I find it hard, like I have it very much as background music in work.
Yeah,
I won't ever stick it on at home. Which is okay. It's fine. Okay.
For me, it's track 4. I've forgotten its title. It's the one about Trump.
Okay,
do you know the one?
I would do if I heard it. Or yeah, so,
no. When Fever Dream came out, I listened to it loads. Like you know, I had it on loop for a good couple of weeks. So when it got announced in this shortlist and it all came up to me, I was being like, oh yeah, I know, yeah, you know, I could remember the rhythm of that album. Yeah. But since they've been nominated for Fever Dream, it's made me remember the time when they didn't get nominated for Get to Heaven, and I think we all felt quite sorry for them at that point, because I think they were the bookies' favourites at the time.
Yeah,
and then they didn't even get a nomination, and it was ridiculous because Get to Heaven was. I don't want to say it's a return to form, but in regards to, let's say, Ark did have a bit of a wandering tangent from the original sort of spark that was Man Alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to see, so Get to Heaven in a way did feel like a return to form of that first album. Yeah, it definitely. Felt like, oh yeah, okay, here they are, business. And the last song on that album, Warm Healer, I've had that on loop quite a lot recently. I don't know why, but have it.
I think the song A Fever Dream is really good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great song.
And my song is Ivory Tower. Sounds like Radiohead.
Yeah.
So if anyone can tell me what track 4 is, that'd be great.
Okay, so we're now on to, is this Georgia Smith? Okay, so this is one of our favourites. I think it's one of the nation's favourites.
Yeah.
God, that sounded like flipping X Factor then, didn't it?
You're not Cowell, don't
know. No. So why
thankfully.
So why do we like it so much?
I don't know. This single's great. And there's just some really, really good pop moments on it. And it feels sort of genuine. There's a lot of genuine sentiment in it and a lot of honesty. There's one track where it might be the first track or the second.
Yeah, it is
where,
the first track.
Where the sort of, where the vocals just tail off in the end. You expect this sort of heart stringy, heart plucky ending. And she just goes like, you know.
I know, messes
it up on purpose.
There's a production style in this album that really does cherish the ad-libs that she puts in her performances. Mm. And it comes through like that. And I think that is one thing that really has sort of made this album flow in a way. Because
it's got absolutely no pretense at all. It feels
at the same time, true. I can't help but feel that the one thing that holds this album back for me is the fact that it's come out at the same time as Teyana Taylor's album in America, the one that Kanye produced in America. And they do have a very similar production mood board, let's say, like very similar tones and things like that. However, that one's a lot more, not just because it's shorter and less songs, but it feels more concise within the songs themselves. Whereas I feel like when I was listening to this George's album today, like it gets around to track 5 and I feel like it should be track 8 at that point. Like in terms of time, it feels like the ideas that they have in these songs just feel a bit too spread out. But again, that's probably just nitpicking. And the moments where it does come in, it's like, oh wow, there's a piano idea and that sounds great all of a sudden. But again, it's a slow build. And unfortunately, it's just come out at the same time that another album's done a similar thing in the States, which has just managed to nail the whole thing in under half an hour. That's just a shame.
Well, the review that I brought up before, it says that it lingers at the exit for 3 songs too long, which
Yeah, we said 14 tracks, is it?
No, Lily Allen's, this one's 10 or 11 tracks. Oh, really? Lily Allen's is 14 tracks. Right. But then speaking of, like, because we'll get round to it when Nadine Shah comes through of, you know, political lyricism and things like that. There's one song on this album called Goodbyes, I'm pretty sure, and in brackets it says freestyle. So if it is a freestyle, then that's incredible. But she seems to get a lot, I mean, all these albums are going to be politically fueled. Let's make no bones about that. But there's that one particular song on Georgia Smith's album, which really encapsulates sort of a whole picture of the fact that, just the fact that everyone's in the shit, basically. But she manages to do it within one song, which I thought was just really impressive. Just the fact that, you know, she just really magnified it all there, right then, as a freestyle.
Well, this is your favourite, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I was worried when I first heard bits of it, because I always think that the music industry is always looking for the next Amy Winehouse. You know,
or Adele, I suppose.
They are constantly on the lookout for that sort of spine-tingling voice that could be put, that some, you know, big-shot producer could press the ballad button and make a sort of really predictable hit out of it. Yeah. Whereas she has that voice, but it is produced and used in a way that's original.
And it feels very... like this album feels like very classically Mercury, and it feels like it could be the platform for a bigger career and being pushed in the States.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's a good point. True. Maybe we should talk about this at some point in terms of past winners, like who's really benefited the most from a win?
Alan, yeah, look, I think the XS.
The Elbow.
XS. Elbow did. I think Elbow were already there probably with One Day Like This.
Elbow's an interesting sub-story, really, isn't it? Because, I mean, that did come around, but then they were also playing the main stage every other year before that at Glastonbury.
Alt-J, would you say? Probably the last band that got that big push. I've not really...
I mean, that was kind of like Beatlemania in a weird sense. I'll never compare it to that again.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
You know what I mean when I say that?
Okay.
So you do have got a few more questions, actually. Ed.
Oh, hang on. Track 4 was Big Game, by the way, Duncan. Yeah. We got into it.
Big Game. That is the song I meant. Very good song.
Very good song.
Okay. This is. I'll leave the questions for now because it looks like our good pals, everything, are about to be on the telly.
See the boys?
Oh.
It's
nice, isn't it? They're nice boys.
Well, they are.
Especially Mikey.
I do like Mikey.
Especially where they wouldn't let Matt into any of their gigs after his bad review.
I'll start off with an apology to everything. Very fitting, seeing as they're doing a live performance now, but I once for... my ex-girlfriend was a big everything fan, whereas I was not, and they were doing a show at the Royal RNCM, where they were playing with
The big brass
band. And I only wanted to go because James Blake was playing his first Manchester show as support.
Right. Someone's phone went off during the single. My God. In a 900 capacity concert hall as well. I mean, that thing really rang out.
So tender as well. But yes, I went and didn't really enjoy it. And I probably stand by my criticisms that like the brass band backing didn't really work with their songs. But in the review, it was just like, I've read it back recently and it's just it seems so mean-spirited because obviously we're just a band who are trying something.
Yeah.
It's like seeing if it works and just like... Given me guest lists, they're just like, instead of going, oh, these are the things that work, I was like, oh, they've got ideas above the station, these lads. I think I spoke to Mikey since. He's like, it cost us personally a load of money and it was really stressful. And then we had one review and it was you because it wasn't London or anything. We're not, I'm not sure if people at the record label probably saw it. It's like, oh, yeah, like my actions do have consequence. I'm desperately sorry.
So
that first album's really good.
We had a chat when everything got nominated, and I suppose what we were sort of thinking was that they should have got nominated for Man Alive Get to Heaven. Sorry, wasn't it? That was it. I put that again, knowing Jeremy, you'd probably be in. You know, not that we say this, but we think it's probably a better record, maybe.
I'd agree with that.
In
my notes, I had a which I posted on Twitter. I had an everything fan pickup that I've written, there was nothing new. But I think it's what I mean is that I don't think it's a progression on their last LP. I think it's on a par, but I don't see why this is nominated and the other one isn't.
Yeah.
But again, that probably goes back to the panel.
It's a strange one in a way, because I think listening to it, I tried to imagine if I'd never heard an Everything Everything song or album before, and I listened to it the first time, and I think I would absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And I think it would be my favourite, hands down. But you're right, I think it's that sort of, we're sort of eased into their style now, so we're not, you know, it's difficult to judge.
Yeah.
Well, you look at the odds, the bookies' odds on this year is, you know, all the front runners have pretty much, they're on their first or second albums. Whereas everyone else whose style that we're used to or comfortable with, they're in competition with themselves before they're even in competition with, you know, other people that have been around as long.
Do you think they're the indie album?
Yeah, I was about to say, is this, I suppose we've got Arctic Monkeys,
I guess.
But I suppose are Everything the best kind of
alternative
forward thinking guitar indie band?
That's acknowledging that Wolf Alice definitely isn't.
Are we going for, so are we talking like indie in the six music sense of the word?
I don't know. I suppose what I'm again looking for a forward.
Nadine Shah's the
I suppose I'm looking for a forward thinking guitar based band.
And this is what.
And I kind of think that.
I think you got it in the Arctic Monkeys, mate.
Do you know? Yeah.
Yeah, because vibraphones, that's a new guitar.
But I don't know, I suppose like that's why everything are popular, because I still think there is...
They are pushing boundaries.
They are trying to create something different with guitar. And again, I keep mentioning Radiohead all the way through this podcast, but I think Radiohead fans are yearning out for a Radiohead that once was. And I kind of maybe think that everything do a little bit to sort of push guitar music to a certain extent in the way all the bands
do. It's a lot of my problem with like the shortlist as it is, because it feels like a lot of the selections are some of the people who got like the last boat out of the music industry, the last chopper out of Saigon, like, because everything one of the last bands to get like a proper music deal whilst being an indie band. And you don't...
It all came to a head with Twisted Wheel, didn't it? They were the last band. After that, the music industry closed its doors for 4 years and then decided to let Blossoms in.
This is why radio. There's not our Radiohead now, because it's difficult to give a progressive, forward-thinking guitar band loads of money.
Yeah, give them a free album deal.
They're not going to recoup it. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work like that anymore.
No.
So I suppose
Everything always had the pop sensibilities as well.
As well as progressive track. I suppose it's completely going to have to. So I suppose generally we like the album.
I think it's a really good album. I think
we're all kind of. I want to take another question. I think it's probably before we, if we do have chance.
It's the front runner.
Hang on. Oh, Nadine's on. We've got to really chat about. So we'll take a question after Nadine Shah. Okay, let's start around the table. We'll start with you now, Robin. You first. What do you think of this record?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I think it's. I think the production's pretty interesting on it, and there's a kind of.
Andy's going to the bar, and everyone. I forgot that we're on telly, so Andy's off to the bar. Okay, go on. Sorry, Rob.
Yeah, and just like musically, it feels quite a lot more original, like in terms of ideas and chord sequences than the other tracks on the shortlist.
Yeah,
there's just that one track. Is this Evil? This one, or is this
Out the Way?
Out the Way.
Yeah,
because there is that track that does have the same melody as Evil by Interpol.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Which isn't Evil.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing. I don't think she's done that intentionally, but
nah.
I think all in all it's a good
scandalous
album.
So don't
towards the end of the album.
No, it was I think it was a single.
I think it was a single.
Oh, very good.
I'm back.
Oh wait. You talk about
Rosemary.
Yeah.
Heaven restores you.
Yeah, you know
the one.
Yeah. Oh. What do you think, Dunk?
It's all right. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm slightly surprised it's the front runner in the fact that it's such a politically idealized body of work that it can't help but be trapped in this moment now.
Yeah, the first song ends with chanting, doesn't it?
Refugees welcome here.
Of course.
You know, and as vital as that sort of is really there definitely needs to be more politicizing in alternative or counterculture music, certainly, but I can't help but feel that in the respective sort of in regards to its timelessness over time, you know, over the years. Cheers, Rob. he was passing me a beer.
They can see.
Oh yeah, everyone can see. I can see. We can see 30 seconds behind. Oh yeah, it's happening right there. So anyway, sorry, went completely off the beaten track there. Basically, I can't help but feel that the album will... I don't know, you're not a fan of it, Andy, and well, I asked you when I was listening to it this morning, I was kind of texting you about it, saying like, oh yeah, so how come you don't like this? And you were like, well, you know, it does feel like it kind of sort of... not the emotion of it, but the general standpoint does feel a bit dreary afterwards.
Tonally and sort of dynamically.
Yeah, and basically, it's a mirror. Yeah, it's reflecting this year, and this year has been a horrible year in that respect. Well, and it's going to be a dreary mirror, isn't it?
I was going to come on to this, actually, because, you know, when there's politically charged lyrical content, but in a style that you don't like, you know, lyrics and songs is a lot more than just about lyrical ideas and content and political lyrics that you agree with, because, you know, I certainly don't like the Manic Street Preachers.
Oh,
but obviously it has some sentiments that I agree with. Same with this as well. It has a lot of sentiments that I absolutely agree with, but it's more than that. It's not enough for me to sort of, you know, disagree with what I would usually like in an album.
Yeah.
But I wrote the same, but I really appreciate the album. It's very established, but it's not for me.
I think that's just it.
But yeah, but I can appreciate it. And like if my wife had it on at home, I'd listen to it. But
I wouldn't listen to it like this.
Also, this could be a very unpopular opinion, I'm sure, but I can't help but feel that as the front runner in the bookies and all that, considering that the last artist to win, the last female artist to win the Mercury was PJ Harvey, I can't help but feel that this isn't far enough removed from PJ Harvey's winning album. I feel like this album has a lot of things in common with Let England Shake.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, it does.
I don't think it would be helpful in that respect. The question is like, what is the award even about, and what's
it should just
do?
Be about the year, though, shouldn't it? It should
That. I mean, it's a cross section of society when you look at all 12 of them. It is 12, right? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Just that would have been embarrassing. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, we were just going to. I was just going to do a little bit of light relief.
Go on.
A little bit of a question. Got a question from.
Just do some breaking news there, like someone's died. Yeah. bit of light relief.
So Frankie Francis from Frankie and the Heartstrings is asking, what would we wear tonight if we were playing?
Oof.
I'd love to imagine your shirt.
It's definitely aimed at you, Dunk, as well.
Well, we'd probably have a long drawn out argument about whether we're going to wear our navy blue jackets. Yeah. Probably ending in that we would.
I think we've only got three between six of us now.
I think I'd go skins. I think I'd just
go full on.
I'd be nothing but I'd wear jeans. I'd wear jeans, but I'd just, you know, I'd let the rug out.
Yeah. Unleash it. You're only going to get one chance, aren't you?
Yeah, you're going to get one chance to do it. Like, depending on which song we picked as well.
But I bet.
Could you imagine the big pieces?
Consider it's Frankie that's asking. Like, Frankie's shirt game is always so much stronger than mine. Back in the day. Yeah. Okay. Mine was just charity shop silk shirts. He's got some flair.
Okay.
We've got.
We're on to Lily Allen is now.
Yes.
Oh, no.
This album, parts of it seem like it's written by a middle-aged woman. I think that's purposely, like, so when she's talking about nobody calling her anymore, and like a lot of stuff about her children and that. I thought that was like lyrically very interesting. It's something that you don't really hear in pop. But other than that, I didn't really enjoy it. It's I don't think it's moved on from her probably like a second or third album, and I don't know. If this isn't Lily Allen, it's not on the list. That's
I do agree. Yeah, I partially agree. I think it's a good main. For the most part, it's a good pop record. We were talking before about how the sort of new character she's made herself as a sort of like, you know, social justice warrior, which is great. You know, I love her on Twitter berating all the arseholes on the right. But it feels like she's taken some of that into the record as well, and whether that is purposeful to try and sell records or to appear a certain way.
Well, everything's to sell records.
Yeah, but that's
doesn't mean you don't feel it.
Yeah, and of course, yeah. But on some songs, it felt really, really upfront.
It was the.
Well, it's only a few years ago that she was getting called out for racism in that video where she had a load of black dancers.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, she's held to a ridiculous standard.
But then, well, it's fair enough. But
well, she's made herself an enemy of the tabloid press, really, hasn't she?
But with that, I think.
Well, she made herself that, or did they just pick her out and just went, let's make an example of it?
A bit of both, but like, she didn't deserve to be picked on as she was. Yeah. But with it was more like online outlets that picked her up on the racism where she didn't need to dance because she had talent or something. I can't, those aren't the lyrics, but and then a writer called Joe Bishop called her out, and she wrote a song about him called URL Badman, where she just had a go at him.
So I really enjoyed the album. I mean, not so really enjoyed it. It was okay, I suppose. As it's a commentary on the way she views things, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
Very, very high level. And it's interesting to see Nadine, who's been on previously, she's sort of written an album as a commentary on what she's seen things. And they're two really, I find, really different albums lyrically and stylistically. So I suppose if I'm going to like an album, I'll probably always swing towards Nadine Shah's instead of Lily, just because I agree with the concept behind that one.
There's a lot of stylistic variety to Lily's album, which I was really pleased about listening to the 14 tracks of it. It's like, so she does take each song somewhere very obviously different.
Yeah.
At the same time, I couldn't help but I forgot what the title is. I've got a book about Prince at home where you keep your books, obviously. And there's a phrase about Prince being like, in the 80s, Prince shaped the 80s. In the 90s, he became sort of a contributor to it. You know what I mean? Like he tried his style. Well, no, he tried to fit in with what was happening in the 90s. I can't help but feel that with Lily, like when she first came out, she completely shaped pop as to what it could be. She was a MySpace star. And now it's just interesting to kind of see her sort of become part of the landscape.
Yeah, and that's, I think,
and
that's,
just trying to fit in that respect, whilst also being yourself. But yeah, it's just obviously, you know, it's just not as bright. It's never going to be as bright as it was.
Yeah.
It's just,
and that's I think that's where some of the themes that I felt, where it's about easing into middle age and motherhood, where she's had to come to terms with the fact that she's not the young upstart anymore, but she's a middle-aged woman.
Quick question.
Is it about shirts again?
No, it's not. That was the light relief. Ed Haygarth asks, if you were shortlisting for a Mercury, what three albums would you put forward? So I guess it's more, what do we think missed
I've already written mine down.
This year?
Yeah.
Hookworms, definitely.
Yeah, top of my list.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'll concur.
Let's Eat Grandma, and that's the good show. The Orioles are my final pick. Yeah.
I haven't listened to that album, actually.
It's very good. It's a very light relief indie pop.
Yeah.
And I also had Shame, who were the bookies' favourites before the shortlist. Yes.
I thought Let's Eat
specifically
Grandma.
Specifically, Steve Lamack came out and said, I've got one word to say about the shortlist, Shame. Yeah. Which I think was quite bold from
BBC DJ. I don't really like Shame that much, but I thought that they definitely deserved to be in.
Yeah.
Oh, is this live?
The Arctic Monkeys are on now, aren't they? So
they're not there, are they?
Mustn't be there.
Have they done a live performance?
Must have done a live performance
in the 70s.
Especially for them. Okay. We spoke about Arctic Monkeys, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino on one of our first editions of the podcast. Duncan, you thought it, or you think it's a superb record, don't you? You were really impressed.
Yeah.
With it. Yeah.
Well, we've just been talking a lot about political writing and the general temperament of the nominees this year, and I think this album has a very unique stance on the whole thing.
You're right.
Disillusionment from the top of the pile, essentially. For me, it is a chronicle of somebody who is in a position where they're made to feel immensely influential and powerful, and yet they're helpless to see the struggles of everyone around them, and especially the people that they grew up with, whether it be now that he lives in LA, whether it be the disillusionment in LA, or whether it be back in England as well. It's just like everything's fucked and all he can do is sort of make money out of a very hedonistic lifestyle, and I don't know. I sensed a lot of guilt and a lot of kind of still clinging on to the thing that made him want to do it in the first place, yeah, as it were.
Should it have been a solo record instead of an Arctic Monkeys record?
No.
I think for the purposes of this, it would have ended up on there if it was a Alex Turner record.
It still would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can make a lot more money if it's an Arctic Monkeys record. That's...
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the band said to him, you should do this as a solo record, and then he said, don't want to do it as a solo record. And then
I'm not going to do it with Miles Kane again. You can't make me do that. I've already given him his career. I can't go back.
I can't speak for him in any more interviews. Yeah, totally. So, and also, like, he didn't write all the instrumental parts to this. The bass player, whatever his finger bob, he wrote his parts. Jamie Bell? No, is that the guy from Billy Elliot?
Yes. That is Billy Elliot, yeah.
Yeah, Billy Elliot, he wrote his own guitar lines.
He's called Jamie something.
Yeah. Cook. No.
James Cook.
That's James Cook from Delphic. Doesn't matter.
No, it might be Cook, actually.
Dexy sings with Dexy's Midnight Runners. It's fine. I can't help... Are they just... They've recorded this live at a gig, haven't they? Because they've been on tour.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're out.
Yeah.
Looks good, though.
Yeah. I said my bit. Nice. Someone else say their bit.
Anyone?
I think when we talked about it last time, it was all fairly positive. I think the half backlash against it not sounding anything like the last record was kind of unnecessary, really, because it's a new record. If they did bring out AM2, then it wouldn't have been nominated for the Mercury Prize. Well, it might have been, because it's Arctic Monkeys. But they've done something really different, and I think it's a good thing. It's also taken their fan base out of the comfort zone as well, yeah.
But the fan base has grown. When we look at when they won it, when was that? 2006 was when they won the first Mercury.
When's the last time somebody won an Oscar that wasn't there? Other than Heath Ledger.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure that.
I'm just trying to think, like, award ceremony. When's the last time it went to somebody that wasn't at the ceremony?
Yeah. I don't know of a Mercury Prize where that's happened. So you're right. So that could be a sign. Yeah, you are correct. Just Frankie's also got back about Young Father's record should have been on the list.
Yes.
Yes, that was most definitely.
Did they win?
They won it in 2014, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I really like that record.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. A question from Steve.
Why the YouTube.com? Come on.
Question from Steve. Oh, hello.
We're tops off.
Oh, God.
Who gets to relive it again?
Hang on.
That was more of a
guys, I can't edit this. This is out loud. Okay, we'll wait for... I was going to do a question from Steve. I'll do it later on. We're only about 10 minutes away from the announcement, I believe. Who have we got left? We've got Novelist, Wolf Alice, King Cruel. And that is that, I believe, at the moment. And now it looks like King Cruel is going to come.
Yes.
Archie.
There he goes. Yeah, King Cruel.
Zoo Kid.
We remember.
So Andy, this was what we were messaging in our group. You really enjoyed this record, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I can't remember particularly why I thought that, but I've always liked what he's done. And one thing I would say about it is that I did think it sounded quite British as well, as much as I hate saying that. But it had that sort of edge to it. Again, sort of unpretentious.
Yeah,
see what you mean, sort of stuff.
On the notion that this award should maybe award people that have really sort of made something innovative. I think he has really fused together some ingredients that no one else has.
Yeah, jazz
easily.
Yeah, and quite a lot of other.
Well, it's noir. It's like it's just like noir punk in it, and it's fantastic.
And he didn't quite get the credit that he deserved on his first album or his last album.
Oh, 6 Feet Below the Moon.
I think this is quite a similar vibe. It's not like a jump like the Arctic Monkeys album. So I think if it was to be commended, I think it'd be quite deserving.
Oh, you reckon it's much more of a stream of musical consciousness than the Arctic Monkeys album?
Well, no, I think it's more like it's more on the same trajectory, like the first album, second album. Like, it's not going to appeal to two separate groups of people. It's not that much of a
yeah, okay.
You could probably interchange tracks from the two, and it wouldn't be
more of a development as opposed to a change of pace.
Yeah. So I think he probably deserved more from his when his first album came out. I thought it was going to be Mercury material, but
I really like this bit. Carry on.
Yeah. So I think it probably deserves it, but again, it's not. It's I enjoy it, but I wouldn't listen to it. It's not. Well, it's not my cup of tea.
My first feelings were it was going to come down to Georgia Smith and this album.
Mm. Yeah,
be interesting to see it.
I think the album's too long.
I don't know. I think there's still quite a lot of space in there. Yeah. I didn't mind it.
I think if you're going to an hour 10, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if you're going to do a record like this length, it just gets to a little bit kind of self-indulgent after a while for me.
I think it worked out. Like, Dutch Uncles couldn't do an hour-long record. I'll give you that.
We can't do an hour-long gig. We'll freak ourselves out.
Totally annoying. But there was some sparsity and some nice just sort of ambience in it that I quite liked.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so it's Dutch Uncles you just brought up. The question from our friend Steve, Steve Griffiths. Which Dutch Uncles album do you think is most deserving of a nomination?
Shut it, Steve.
No. We're not answering that here.
That's not for us to say.
What do you think, Matt?
As a neutral, I think Big Balloon. Like, it's I've been a Dutch Uncles fan for many a year.
I say because we've not read your reviews and blacklisted you from our gigs.
I was pushing you back in the ink, Dave.
Track of the day
online, the best fit, mate. don't question my loyalty. But I think that. Big Balloon's like the most accomplished, both musically and lyrically.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of. Thank you, Matt.
The drumming's incredible, by the way.
Would you like a cold chip? I know a lot of our more dedicated fans would say, "Oh, Shudder would be the one." And I'm not going to say anything about that album today. What I would say is probably Out of Touch in the Wild definitely feels to me like the most coherent bunch of songs that we've put together. But then again, as Andy said, knowing a bit more about the way that the world works and stuff, I'd not pick any of them. But yeah, Out of Touch in the Wild would be the one for me that I would go, that really feels like it tells its own story in its own body of work, as opposed to trying to kind of go, well, we need the singles and then we need the album tracks, but then we also need the, you know, as opposed to realizing that.
I think we were a bit more relaxed when we wrote it as well. We didn't think about it.
I certainly wasn't. I was stressing the hell out. Yeah, I was whinging about every bloody second, and I wish I hadn't. I really wish I hadn't.
Okay, so Novelist has just taken the stage.
Turn his mic down.
Yeah, I need to get that mic down. It's a bit. So maybe I'll start off with Novelist. I thought this was excellent and a real surprise package. Again, I suppose I don't really know much about grime.
Yeah, again, same notes.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's a bit of a. So
he's a lad about.
It's a bit of a fairy book. Yeah. Ending, really. Fairy tale ending. Fairy book ending.
It's all right.
So sorry. Fairy tale ending, isn't it? Pretty sure it was written off by a lot of people, and in terms of education as well. I don't know. But then wasn't he like signed at 15? So what the hell am I even talking about?
Well, this record is self-written, self-produced, self-released. So he had offers of labels and things like that, and he decided, because he's done lots of... he's sort of contributed on many albums in the grime scene before, and he's decided, right, I'll do it, but I'm not going to take anyone's label money. I'm just going to go.
As an album, it feels like he's sort of taken characters from the streets that he's just seen and kind of gone, right, I'm writing a song about that person today. And he's made it as minimal and as repetitive as possible. And I'm not sure if that's supposed to be resonant of a certain mentality of today's world and perhaps the whole narcissism that we're all stuck in or not, but it kind of, I don't know, for me it just felt a little bit too, like after a while it gets about track 7 or track 8, it's like, wow, okay, he's written like one verse for each song and he'll just keep saying the same line again and again.
It's not like the Skepta album from a few years back where that felt, as much as it was a like grime album, it felt very much like a pop album at the same time, but it's like
I didn't listen to that album at the
it's really poppy, but it's like the songs that probably my mum would be able to listen to.
Yeah, whereas this is far less poppy.
To pick these songs out, great individually. I just think as an album, for me, it felt quite wearing.
Okay. Yeah, I liked it. I like the way it... I don't know what grime music sounds like. There's a lot of synths on it, weren't there? And things like, you know, things like that. I just thought, is that what you know? But I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was a real surprise packaging. Listen, okay, we got any more questions?
Yeah, I think we do.
There was one asking. Here we go. It's from Phil Rhodes. I want to ask if you would consider. A question to consider, why are the equivalent Scottish and Canadian albums of the year events better?
It just they do celebrate alternative creativity more.
And aren't they're nationally funded, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whereas this, like, even to get in the door, like to get on the longest,
exactly,
long list,
you've got to pay.
You've got 200 quid.
300 quid, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's 200 and VAT, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, and then you've got to commit to doing like publicity and stuff if you get. Whereas the other ones are like government funded or at least arts council funded.
The Welsh one seems to pick things really well.
Yeah.
And there is a sort of rich body of, you know, more sort of quirky creativity in that award than in this. And the Canadian one, Memphis band Weaves were nominated, I think, for the Canadian one.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, I think so. And that is sort of well out there. There's absolutely no chance of that getting nominated here.
Of course. Was Canadian to start with. So.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so who we got left? Can we just go Wolf Alice or...
That's it, isn't
is that it?
Is that it? We've got Wolf Alice left.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't want to watch Wolf Alice.
Don't you?
We have to watch it, Matt.
We have to watch it.
Sake of diplomacy.
But it's one of the, like, when I was getting out of music, when they started getting bigger, I was like, they're no better or worse than... Tens of bands that are doing
this. Is what the industry does to you, doesn't it? It smothers you with mediocrity.
And you start realizing, like, it's just, oh, they've got further because they've got management or a label who are prepared to put the right money behind them in the right places, whereas other people aren't as lucky. It was them and Slaves as well, where it's just like Slaves especially. It's like, these are
I've still not forgiven Slaves for when I was on Roundtable with Isaac and he just stole all of my opinions. And then he said he'd go out for a pint afterwards, and him and Tom Ravenscroft were nowhere to be seen.
Yet more just appropriation from Slaves.
Yeah. They're in the No Duncan's Club.
Yeah, they are in the No Duncan's Club. Wankers. So not really.
Given the awards up next, I'll just not mention the two star panellists this year. Who are of Mumford and Sons, Marcus Mumford.
I
didn't know that.
And
that changes it then.
And Jamie Cullum's on there as well. She?
Really?
Jamie Cullum's on the panel.
Oh, fucking hell, Florence and the Machine are going to win.
Yeah, but it's really establishment, so you've got people.
Hey, Marcus, he's not afraid of a party. Remember, we saw him at South by Southwest that time. Still in full peasant attire, of course. But he was friends with the bass player from Fiction. And we spent most of the time just like hanging out with Fiction. Like, we were basically just watching each other's sets.
They were borrowing our gear as well.
But yeah, but I remember Marcus was there in his full peasant outfit and his jugged of ale. Jugged.
Flagon.
Jugged.
But I was just like, but it completely broke down my whole preconception of it. I was like, whoa, hey, this guy likes to party. Look at him with his mead.
It was mead.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say he goes. Yeah, you know.
I think we've just sort of compounded the opinion that he isn't very outlooking.
He's got a jugger of ale
in full.
Jugger of ale.
Regalia with a jugger of mead.
Well, you know. Yeah. The point being is that, like, I don't think he'd be so typical in his voting. I think he'd freak out the freaks. I think he'd go for the odd one.
Well, I think that's very optimistic of you.
Are they only allowed one vote each?
Yeah, and there's
and how many of them are there?
Is that right? Is that how it works?
So it can literally come down to just getting
two
votes.
But I think it's more like I think it's more of a discussion once the table on the evening. So the idea is they don't decide until the evening, which obviously some people come in and go.
No chance.
they watch the perform. The idea is they watch performances. They agree amongst themselves. So, and there's a person who chairs it, I think. But if it comes to,
so is it still the case that the judges, the performances have an impact? On
I think
it?
That's the idea is, but in reality probably not.
Seems crazy,
because if you Wolf Alice, you're like, well.
If you're Arctic Monkeys, you're like, wow.
I'm sure that the judging panel already know about their confetti cannons. It's fine.
Are there any other notable panelists that
I wrote down what outlets we're from. So the outlets they're from, The Guardian Guide,
okay,
which I think is Harriet Gibson.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Radio 6 Music and Radio 2, the control there, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody from Radio X, somebody from Kerrang and Mojo, and somebody from The Times. So
you say somebody from 6 Music?
Yeah, I think it's...
It's a producer,
like,
isn't it?
Or producer or programmer.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't have anybody from, like, The Fader, Noisy...
Any online
outlet, you've got here
we go,
hugely establishment. So I think that was part of why I thought they'll probably just give it Arctic Monkeys.
Is it always the same? It's the same judges who choose the shortlist as well.
That's what they say. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of mad, that, isn't it? Really.
But they listen to the albums over however long.
Yeah. So we got. I've just got the list up now. So we got Leanna Havas, Marcus Mumford, Mike Walsh, head of music at Radio X.
Yeah,
I don't really know. Will Hodgkinson, I do know him, the guy from the Times.
How do you know
him? He does shows on Sky Arts.
I thought you meant personally.
Of course, as if I know anyone. Who do I know? Okay, is there any questions, Andy? Has anyone made any nice comments?
There's lots of lovely comments, actually.
Lovely.
There's been some, lovely interaction.
It's great. Katie Harkin. There we go. Asking us if we could do Who Do You Think You Are crossover episodes as my great grandmother ran a fish and chip shop in Manchester.
Yep, sure.
There we go.
That could have been done.
What?
You can listen back.
That was Katie Harkin.
You can listen back.
But I didn't hear what you said.
Okay, sorry. I can hear very loud in my headphones.
Well, yeah, because you got headphones.
But yeah, cheers.
Hi, Katie.
Cheers, Katie. Okay.
Okay, so isn't it?
Is this it?
So, after having seen all the performances, are we sticking with our original predictions?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Georgia Smith. Georgia Smith.
If you had to nail it on performance, I'd probably say King Cruel. No,
I'd say Everything Recorded.
Already forgotten about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Everything Is Recorded.
They're going Arctic Monkeys, mates.
Yeah. So
who's going to collect it for them?
Florence.
Noel Gallagher or someone.
Marcus.
Kanye.
I still think they're Dean Shaw. I suppose I kind of thought that when I heard the record.
I'd be happy with Dean Shaw.
And I still think that that's the best one of the year for me.
Mm.
Here we go. What do we do? Do we be quiet?
I don't know. it's the montage.
Oh man, a horrible montage.
Oh, you see, we've not really talked about the history of the Mercury. Yeah, some of the absolute trash that's been put up there for nomination before. New Young Pony Club.
Fuck it.
Bloody hell.
It was a great single.
Well, Ice Cream.
Yes.
The Klaxons.
Okay. So we've got a list of winners for the past 17 years.
The Ordinary Boys then, it was Pulp.
Who's the worst winner then out of the past since 2000?
The one least deserving or the one who
oh man, I don't know. Well, I think the Klaxons.
Don't say least deserved.
I think the Klaxons.
Well, Klaxons has aged the worst, isn't it? But it's like when you look at it.
Of that year, it was important. Wasn't it?
It's like the Klaxons.
You're telling me the Klaxons album was the best album? Well,
2007 was a really bad year for albums.
Well, as a Chiltonite / Chiltonian / whatever the fuck we call ourselves,
Marple.
I gotta say, the Badly Drawn Boy one's interesting, just because he's like. I don't know, like, he'll charge like £20 a ticket to go see him at the Deaf Institute. But if you live in Cholton, you can just watch him play the open mic night on Peach Road. So, like, because he won in 2000, that's why I'm mentioning him. I don't know, that's a bit of a weird one, bit of a weird sell. But then again, like, the Miss Dynamite album, I can only think of the single. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of.
Sorry, we make a decision. Couple of minutes.
Couple of minutes.
They need a couple of minutes.
Okay,
they're going to go through the shortlist again.
Yeah, go through the shortlist one more time.
Yeah, Florence.
I'd say that.
I'd forgotten that Franz Ferdinand won it in 2004. I think that's fantastic.
That was great.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to see that.
Well, the year after, 2005, Kaiser Chiefs were like the favourites to win that year.
Ooh.
God, can you imagine that run? Franz Ferdinand, 2004. Kaiser Chiefs, 2005. Yeah, Arctic Monkeys, 2006. Yeah.
Then Klaxons, 2007.
I think, well, I'm going to have to say the worst is Benjamin Clementine because I've got no memory of him, even though it was 3 years ago.
It's crazy actually, speech to Belle when she won it. You know, she was no one when she won it, and nothing well, it's seems to have happened since.
That's quite a rarity, really. But then again, since, I feel like... I mean, a lot of these have been somewhat established already.
Yeah, within the space about 3 months, there were already stories about speech to Belle being like her time being over.
And yeah,
I think she's the one where it seemed to, rather than boost the career, seemed to like
really
stall.
Yeah, a lot of people really turned on her, didn't they? Well, I can't remember why. There was any specific reason. Like...
I think like her label weren't ready to deal with the demand, and like she wasn't able to properly capitalize on it. Yeah. So it was a bit of a whimper.
I think there was a lot of jealousy in the industry that she'd won it as well. Probably because of the reasons that she couldn't.
The year before with Elbow, where it's like it helped help propel them even further. Mm.
Odd one.
Mm. Okay, so we're not far off now, are we? By the sounds of it, it'd be really. We should. Can we get hold of Jeremy? Someone text Jeremy
right now.
Right now. See if he wants any chips or something like that
in Brixton Academy. I'm pretty sure there's no Hammersmith. Reception Hammersmith. There anyway. Yeah,
but if they do win, they might give you a shout out on stage.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they would. Shout out to the chips of Chorlton.
They're slagging me off ever since I was a guest.
Just text him that. If you win it, give us a shout out.
Yeah, I'll give him a little tweet now.
It's fantastic. You'll
see him look at his phone. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so the time is now.
Crank it up a little bit, would you? I feel like I'm good.
Okay, I'm gonna stand up because we've got. Yeah. Okay. One sec.
Now you got a fill. Now you've asked him to move. He can't be on mic.
I have to fill anything. It's not.
There we go.
Thank you.
Got
Neil.
One remote that controls two TVs.
That'll do.
I'll tweet Jeremy and say, "Good luck, mate."
He's not. That.
Good luck.
He's just going to cut to him, just looking at his phone. He's like, oh,
"Give us a shout out if you win."
Those bell ends, yeah.
Winky face.
Okay, so
I'm not actually going to send that.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking pathetic.
Okay, here we go.
I just can't believe Lily Allen is it a first nomination, isn't it?
Yeah. Here we go. Okay. Hope you can hear this.
I'm quite nervous.
Of the 2018
Hyundai
Mercury Prize is...
Fuck's sake.
Is...
Wolf Alice.
Fuck! I'm fucking done with this shit.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
What the fuck?
Look on Noel's face.
I have no idea what has just happened.
I didn't even think it was possible.
How has that happened?
This feels worse than Croatia.
I'll tell you what,
it's quite similar, actually. Just throwing a lot of pints in the air as well.
Duncan, this must be especially hard for you, given the...
Duncan, you're speechless. I need some speech from you. I need
given how arsed I was about, like, it's the album I gave the least mind to. didn't listen to it once. I'm still really annoyed at them because when I used to DJ this,
Betty Cannons.
I told you they get confetti cannons. They get away with it every time. Just because you got confetti cannons doesn't make you a good band.
My wife just messaged, "What a fucking disaster!"
Wow.
They're not even asked. You might as well get your sound tech to do this one. Looks like you did your bloody DJ set when I fucking DJ with me that time. I used to DJ.
DJ politics.
I used to DJ an Indie Night at Deaf Institute. They were special guests. They didn't have a fucking clue. God, they're awful.
Yeah. So
I suppose sonically it was
horrible.
It's pretty dull, isn't it? Really? So, like you say, it could be so many other bands.
Yeah.
So yeah,
not
so,
even the indie choice. What are you?
So for people who are on the listen, tweet us. Yeah, trying to calm Duncan down at the minute. So yeah, so we'll probably stay active on air for another 10 minutes. Just chat about this if we can chat. Tweet us now in the next few moments, and we'll try and get through some of your.
Yeah, I'd quite like to see some reaction.
Yeah, give us some reaction to it, and we'll try and get through it as we're wrapping up. As I say, we'll probably try and wrap up.
Even reference Noel Gallagher.
Right.
Even Noel's happy about.
We'll try and wrap up in about 20 minutes, about 10:30, and then we'll
we've at least got an answer. We've at least got an answer for the worst winner since 2000 now. We're all struggling with that.
And then they answered it for us. Thanks. Yep. Yeah,
this is so no deal, isn't it?
the English curry sauce.
Yeah, this is English curry sauce.
First English curry sauce.
Mark II.
Fucking this.
Yeah.
Oh, do they perform again? Is that how it works?
No. Do they?
I can't believe
it. Maybe they play it out.
Oh, because their gear's already set up because they played last.
Oh, maybe they do decide on the night and that's how it works.
No.
Just like, fuck, give it. We're all getting paid anyway.
Let's just make this as logistically easy as possible, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Ease of having your gear set up.
Yeah, I mean, it is set up, though.
Always make
sure you're last. Put it back on.
Always make sure you're last.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the...
So, Duncan, what do you think this says for music in 2018?
Can I turn this down? Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please do.
There we go. We'll
zero.
There we go. Okay.
What does this say for music in 2018?
Yeah.
Don't know. What is it? I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't even think I care to make a response to that. I think that's what it says about it.
For 5 minutes ago, you were saying Marcus Mumford was going to shake up the music
there
industry.
We go. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Proved you wrong, didn't he?
Proved us all wrong, to be fair. Jammy sod.
I'm just a bit confused. You know, I don't really.
Maybe we should turn it up and give it another go.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, at least the trip's all right.
I'll do it. I'll turn it up.
No, don't turn it up.
How do you turn up this?
Don't touch it. It'll fall.
There's no buttons.
It will fall.
It's not.
Don't touch it.
Okay, go to the toilet. Duncan's gone. Duncan has left the building, everyone. My phone is.
Is it buzzing off the hook?
It's buzzing off the hook. I'm getting messages about things and little bits and bobs. I'm a bit shocked about it. Am I out of touch? Do I just look at things? I like things that make a bit of a comment on something. I don't know. Maybe I didn't hear the comment that this record was going. Because even when Duncan was sort of talking...
I don't know if lyrically it might be amazing. I have no idea.
You know,
because musically it does nothing new at all.
Well, I mean, this is a conversation about the Mercury Prize, though, isn't it? Is it out to reward acts that push boundaries?
No, it's meant to be the best album, isn't it? And it's meant so.
Is this just
on commercial success, or is it artistic, in the literature?
They say it's based purely on the album as it is, rather than look at any outside influences. Whereas I think in the past, it's been more skewed that way.
Because they say this is the music equivalent of the Booker Prize, don't they?
Yeah.
Which it can't be real. It's like music's surely more subjective.
But even if you were to sort of put that, you know, obviously this has been commercially successful, but at least in the past there's been elements of reasonable, well thought out, forward thinking, creative, critically well received things versus commercial success as well. Whereas this is just one of them. There isn't really anything sort of.
Yeah.
But again, you go back to the panel and with people from Radio X, Kerrang, The Times.
Yeah.
This is, it's about as experimental as that, as people from that world could be expected to push, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Duncan. I actually had you on mute then, Duncan. So, which is probably for the best. I think followers of the podcast are genuinely disappointed.
Although, Frankie, again, thanks for contributing so much, Frankie. he says that this record and this band means a lot to a certain generation.
Yeah, there are certain people on iPhone and Twitter who are big Wolf Alice fans.
Yeah.
It's, again, we're... I'm a middle-aged man.
Am I out of touch with it? Yeah. You know,
you're 30 years old, Matthew.
I know, but
don't plan to live that long.
But like, I was at a gig last night. I was saying afterwards that like there are 18-year-olds there, and so there's always like middle-aged men at gigs, like 50-year-old men. And when I was 18, I'd be like, what the fuck's that perv doing here? And now that I look more like the 50-year-old man than an 18-year-old, there are probably 18-year-olds there like, why is he out of the house on a weeknight?
How was the Mitski gig?
Oh god, I cried throughout.
She's that bad.
No, she's probably my favourite artist. So it's very emotional. If I was 10 years younger, I'd be like, good, this is God, Wolf Alice have got it, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It does nothing for me. But
I mean, I have no idea. Do they have that sort of cult fan base?
Yeah, there are a lot of cool people are into them. Yeah,
really.
Yeah. But I'll say, John Higgs, shout out to John Higgs. Everything. He said that they would win it.
Really?
Yep.
How did he know that? Did Leanne Havas tell them?
He's the master and creator of everything. You know, of all we know. But yeah, that was his. When he was asked on the day of the nominations, like, who do you think will win? He went, Wolf Alice.
Yeah, we might have talked about this before, but I felt like he was definitely taking the piss. Which he may have been, or he may not have been.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's the consolation of like, so you guys didn't get to vote in the referendum, but you know what? Your favourite band, they just got that award. You know? And 20 grand. Think of all the confetti cannons they can get with that.
That's more upsetting in a way that 20 grand doesn't really go. I mean, it doesn't go far with them at all. They don't need it, basically.
How far does 20 grand go?
Well, that's
a good summer.
Well, it would be...
you know what I'm saying.
Where are you going? But it could go so much further with, I don't know,
Sons of
Kent. Yeah, I mean, it might be the difference of them touring somewhere and not touring somewhere. As Wolf Alice are like fucking industry juggernaut, aren't they?
What kind of size venues do they play?
Wolf Alice?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Apollo here?
Yeah. Apollo, yeah.
At least. I mean, everyone plays fucking Apollo these days.
Ghost Poets just tweeted.
Two nights at the Brixton Academy, wasn't it?
Ghost Poets just tweeted just basically what? ?
Oh!
Yeah, it's good on him, yeah.
Yeah, good on you.
Well, he's been on the panel, hasn't he, before?
He has, yeah.
As has Jeremy. I'm sure Jeremy has,
no, I don't think so.
You sure? I think he has. We'll ask him. Next time he's on, we will get Jeremy back on. Yeah. We'll ask him then.
Yeah. Not after your comments about the everything on, mate. You know.
I didn't say anything bad.
That was just me. I was just about to spread it around the room.
Just because I forgot the title of track 4.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
we're not all getting on your blacklist, mate.
Okay, so this podcast, we're just kind of watching the telly now, aren't we? On BBC 4? So let me just turn that off.
Hey, that could be the part of this podcast that swings the whole thing.
Yeah, you just start watching.
It's the beginning of something brilliant.
An amazing drama comes on the BBC 4.
I quite like watching the Andrew Marr documentary before we came on. It's very relaxing.
I wish we'd just watch that now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, it feels like probably a good time to wrap it up there. We got anything else you want to?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so thanks, Matt. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers.
It's really good.
I wish could have blessed you with a better result.
No, it's all right. It's totally fine. But yeah.
Would you like to plug anything?
Do you got anything to plug?
The Irish gravy was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Irish gravy. You have to go Royal Cod. Irish curry. And stay away from the English curry. It's watery.
Yeah. So... yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks for coming along. Thank you, Duncan.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob.
Cheers.
And thank you, Andy.
Cheers.
Thank you. Okay, and thank you all for listening. We're going to put this out hopefully in a week. Hopefully, if anyone has any desire to listen to us talk for over 2 hours.
I've been extremely
disappointed at the end. But yeah, thank you very much. It's been okay.
Has it been 2 hours?
It's happened. It's happened.
It's happened.
Oh,
it's happened.
Bloody hell. Now, sorry,
hour and a half. Yeah, sorry, everyone.